You're listening to the Biz Library Podcast, a weekly discussion of important topics that affect both HR and learning and development professionals. Biz Library is dedicated to creating the best and most complete online learning solution that both engages employees and drives business results. For more resources like this podcast, be sure to head over to our website, where you'll find up-to-date ebooks, infographics, and other resources, as well as SHRM and HRCI-approved webinars focused on creating better workplaces through great human resource practices and employee development. Hello and welcome to the Biz Library Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Smith.
And I'm Hannah Brenner. Today, we're joined by Jessica Williams to talk about organizational effectiveness.
Jessica, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Just so our listeners can get a better idea of who you are, Jessica, Jessica brings extensive cross-industry experience, both as an external consultant and as an internal HR and learning and development manager, leading organizational effectiveness projects and programs that align with and support strategic objectives at both private and public sector organizations. Jessica has led workshops at both private and public sector organizations on numerous enterprise-level projects, mainly for multi-state or multi-county initiatives in the automotive, consumer products, electronics, energy, financial services, government, healthcare, media and entertainment, and technology industries. Her specific areas of expertise include driving transformation and change adoption to sustain large-scale organizational change, optimizing employee and workforce performance, and fostering a learning culture. So we are delighted to have you on here. Jessica is a certified Scrum Master and received a 2016 Chief Learning Officer Trailblazing Award. That's awesome. So I guess our first question is, I'm dying to know, what exactly is organizational effectiveness?
Excellent question. You know, Derek, Hannah, I'm not sure there is a standard consensus on a definition, but I think of it as an umbrella term. I've had something like 20 different job titles over the course of my career, but I see the goal of my career, or I'm sorry, well, the goal of organizational effectiveness overall as helping organizations to optimize performance. And that has also been the goal of my career. So, you know, we've heard terms like, we've all heard learning and development, organizational development, talent management, change management, human capital management. OE practitioners like myself work across all of these areas. So I love variety. I love that I get to work across the entire employee lifecycle, from recruiting and hiring to onboarding and learning to competency and performance management, and really all the way through separation and offboarding. So that's a little snippet about what OE can encompass.
Sure. It sounds like there's quite a lot, but you did mention that there's sort of a life cycle involved with it, at least a little bit. Can you sort of walk us through what that might look like over time and what you're looking to improve within an organization? Maybe a couple specific examples.
I get asked that all the time, right? Like, what is organizational effectiveness? And I think the question behind that is, you know, how can this help me? And when you all invited me to join your show, I started thinking about, you know, what could I share that would be of value to your listeners, right? Most likely your listeners are either HR or learning leaders or team members. They could be business executives looking for ways to optimize their organization's performance. They know they need to stay competitive. They want their employees to continuously evolve. They need to keep up to date, learn new things, collaborate, innovate. But how do they do these things? You know, you alluded to, you know, what happens during the employee life cycle, right? I started thinking back over the past 2 years, and I've gone back and forth between being an internal HR and learning leader and an external management consultant. So 2 years ago, I went back external. So I'm a partner, like Biz Library, to companies that are trying to improve. And as I have worked with these different clients across all different industries, national, global, et cetera, I had the privilege of actually leading 12 different work streams, organizational effectiveness work streams on projects. And I started to think about what made these projects successful. And I started thinking about three consistent factors that really went across all of the engagements. And I was thinking that one way to answer your question, Derek, might be to share with you those sort of three tips that do impact the employee experience. Will that work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's dive in then. My three tips are around process, self-service, and tracking. And my learning leader roots are going to show because I immediately started trying to come up with an acronym as the mnemonic. So I came up with POST, P-O, process, P for process, S for self-service, T for tracking.
Perfect.
You can have some fun with that, I guess. So let's start with process. Okay, we all already know process is critical to define the way companies deliver a product, the way they do sales, customer service, and every function, really. Right, including creating podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a process.
Yes.
Yep.
But did you ever stop to consider that when employees join a company or you ask them to make a change, like one common one would be new tools or applications, a new program like performance management, this could involve its own separate process. So I tell my clients that they could be intentional or accidental. When you have new hires join you, you roll out a new program, new computer application, et cetera, what happens if you don't tell anyone how to do their job, how to use the new tool, what training is available, and what behavior you're expecting? Well, eventually, employees will figure it out. Mm-hmm. They will, you know, be able to get the job done. However, unfortunately, there could be some fallout. So typically, it's going to take them longer to be productive. They're going to have to hunt for information that they need. In fact, they might never figure out all the features of a new tool or, you know, maybe some more sophisticated ways of performing a task. Like, say, you guys have videos on presentation skills, right? There's so much to it. They might be using a fraction of that. And then there is the mental and emotional component. The technical name for this is what we call the Valley of Despair. Anyone ever heard of that?
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I've been in a valley of despair at a certain job.
You have, okay? Very good point. So when a change occurs, even a good change, there's an immediate dip in productivity. That's what we call the valley of despair, right? So I started a new job, super excited. I know how to do it. But I don't know my way around, right? I've even got to find the restroom, let alone, you know, what kind of training videos are available to me, et cetera, right? So now the key is we want people to spend the least amount of time in the valley as possible, right? So if I prepare you with some communications, with training, with other activities, I'm going to be able to climb out right away. I'm not going to spend too much time in there. But if not, you know, your employees could be stuck there a little bit longer than you might like. So whether it's new hires or employees being impacted by a change, I personally start by assessing how an organization could standardize their approaches. And I'm going to look at things like, what kind of messages are you delivering? What kind of training do they have available? What are these messages and training? You know, is it in person? Is it electronic, email, you know, some kind of electronic platform? What is the timing? You know, do I get it right away? Do I have to wait? And then what I like to do is develop in partnership with clients things like a toolkit, a timeline, standardized steps, checklists, and other collateral, right, that clients could use to help their teams adapt and then be as productive as quickly as possible. So let's say you have an onboarding presentation or a new program launch broadcast. What happens after people leave the meeting or they disconnect from the broadcast or they finish reading your memo? That's where my second tip comes in.
Okay, but I say, in a lot of cases, nothing. It goes out of mind and
exactly.
People forget.
Yeah, very true, right? I mean, what do you think would happen, Derek, if, you know, you kind of just threw someone in the mix and they really had no information about what to expect?
Yeah, I can see why that would confuse or frustrate people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very key words there, right? Nothing may happen. People may be confused or frustrated. I mean, how many people are going to be jumping up and down excited that they don't know what to expect next, right? So that's where my second tip comes in, self-service. Remember POST? I found it really effective to clients that they give employees access to custom self-service and portals. Okay, it could be housed on their existing intranet. It could be on a partner site. Usually it's a combination of both. You know, so we'll see what they have. We may recommend they get new things, but ideally they can use what they have. So for example, if you're a Biz Library customer, this can be a key part of your platform. Let me talk about what that means. Because each client, I develop a specific recommendation depending on what's available and, you know, what do they have the ability to develop or their budget, you know, those kind of things. Now, remember, their employees are likely in multiple states or countries. But even if not, there's a very good chance that they need to consider multiple time zones. They could have people on swing shifts or night shifts, right? So all these individuals need access to announcements, to training. They have to know when to do what, right? Mm-hmm. So your self-service pages and portals needs to be available 24/7. It should be flexible. It should be customized to the employee experience. And ideally, this is my ideal dream world, it's great to have turnkey learning content available, because otherwise, you know, you're going to have to develop it yourself. So let's talk about content for a second. First and foremost, your content needs to be relevant to your goals, right? So that's A number one. It's not going to do you any good if it's not relevant, but that's not sufficient. Okay, remember, employees are busy. They expect high quality content. So you want to provide a learning experience that is quick, but is highly, highly engaging. And most likely video will be part of the mix. Studies are showing video is possibly the format most desired by employees these days. Biz Library is a great example of the type of partner that could provide you with learning content that can be customized. Hannah knows, I've been a huge fan for years. I myself implemented 4 or 5 years ago at one employer I had. So think about my requirements for access, for flexibility, for turnkey content. Again, Biz Library is the type of thing that would meet these requirements. It's available around the clock. You can customize it. You can upload your own content. You can create your own learning paths. And then it has a ton of engaging turnkey video and other content. So again, whether you develop it yourself or you have a partner or you have a combination, right? These are some of the things we advise clients to look for specifically. So once you have this page, you can use every opportunity to drive users to these resources. So maybe you have a custom page with Biz Library attached to it, or maybe use Biz Library as your front end, and then you can attach and upload other content you want. But this is going to minimize questions and calls to your service desk, to HR. It's going to help you get your folks flying information, having a single source of truth for updates, information, additional training, et cetera. So let me pause and see if there's any reaction, yeah. Or as I put it, questions, comments, or murmurs of protest.
No, so I think that last bit that you just said is really important, of the single source to make sure everybody has the most up-to-date information, because how often do companies update processes or update the employee handbook even, and people have all these older versions lying around and nobody knows what the real policy is. So I love that you touched upon that, of you need that single place where people can go to have their questions answered, to understand the workflows and the processes, and the different checklists and things, so everybody's working off the same information.
Mm-hmm. And I want to piggyback on top of that, Hannah, and say that what's also nice is to have different chunks of information. So you can have, you know, handbook, reference material, but also if you have a combination, right, of, say, pertinent training videos, then you're going to be able to give people a lot of information. So let's say, for example, in your handbook, you have stuff on performance management. Well, oh no, I got to write performance reviews again, right? How do I do this? So if I have a little training video I can click on right away, and I don't have to go hunting and searching for it, but it's all together in one spot, woo, I'm golden, right? So again, really combining the resources that companies have to make it as easy as possible for employees to reach their goals. And I'll just bet Derek has something on the tip of his tongue.
Well, I'm just curious. I appreciate that self-service is so ingrained maybe with technology. What about from a people standpoint? What should people be doing proactively during this phase you know, besides having resources available, is there anything else that HR should be doing proactively? Any conversations that should be happening? Any processes additional that should be running during this time?
I think you make an excellent point, Derek, in that really my two tips, process and self-service, kind of should run in parallel. So you may actually want to build your self-service resources, you know, at the beginning. And then as you start having these conversations, to your point, right, maybe you'll have, you know, some kind of a kickoff meeting or broadcast to announce something. Or, you know, if you think about new hires, for example, obviously they may have a structured process in place that where you'd hit them at certain touch points. So again, along with your process, this is kind of in the background where you're now giving people a place they could go to get what they want when they want it. And that's going to be really critical. It may be 2 o'clock in the morning and, you know, they need a tip on dealing with a difficult employee, mm-hmm. or learning how to do a process on their production line. So again, yes, I would see these things working in parallel. And the whole discussion about what makes learning engaging, I mean, that's something you guys are the experts in. I mean, that's too big of a discussion for us to have here. But know that you really need to have resources that you develop yourself or through a partner that are going to engage your employees. So actually, if you don't mind, I'll just move on to the third and final tip.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely.
So now you have, if you have the process in place, see, that was such a perfect segue, Derek, right? Okay, so I got my process in place. I got my page set up. Right, I know. If you haven't done so already, I always recommend that clients look at tracking. Okay. Now, tracking is a step that I've seen probably most clients tend to put on the back burner. Now, when I was a biz library client, Hannah kept me honest.
Hannah loves
time,
tracking.
Hannah loves data, yes.
Yes, Hannah loves data. And at the time, Hannah had a different role. And at the time, we were working together. I mean, I just feel really fortunate that we got to read again in this different capacity. But biz library always had monthly meetings where we were able to meet with our client success rep, with sales, and just make sure that what we had was meeting our needs, people were logging on, and we're getting the kind of results we wanted. And biz library could even, in our case, suggest things to help us get back on track. Now, if you are a company that has kind of put tracking on the back burner, well, if you're with BizLibrary, you can't, because they will be really good to you at getting you to take a look at your facts and figures. But I know for many clients I've worked with, you know, don't despair. The initial focus is usually on getting information and learning right into the hands of your employees as quickly as possible, right? I get that. But however, you knew there'd be a however, you never want to lose sight of your overall goal. Again, I think BizLibrary does a great job of this. You want to find a way to track and monitor progress towards your overall objective, regardless of what platform you're using, if you have your own in-house thing, if you're using a partner. And this is going to allow you to make your mid-course corrections if you're not going in the right, things aren't going in the right direction. And you know what? It's super fun to uncover success stories that can be shared, and everyone can learn, start learning from each other, right? If someone found a great video, right, they want everybody to watch. Now, fortunately, these days, all these applications have terrific dashboards built right in. You have client success reps that can often pull other data. So, you know, bottom line, you can get a ton of numbers, see how you're doing. And again, the starting point is really your original objective. What were you trying to accomplish? And how can you measure that success? I advise clients to look at industry standard metrics, quantitative and qualitative data, right? Like just what is the feedback in the hallway, right? And ultimately, I work with companies to come up with a report template they could use on a routine basis, and that's going to help them keep their initiatives on track. And of course, that is a whole other discussion, which we don't have time for today, but, you know, perhaps another future podcast. So, any questions or comments about any of the three tips, process, self-service, and tracking. See, I need to use my own acronym.
Well, I love what you said about, you know, the course corrections for tracking, because so often, like you said, people shy away from it. They don't want to look at the data. And then next thing you know, they've just wasted all of this time on these new processes and training and follow up. And, you know, they're way off course. And so it's about the course corrections, but then also improving the process for next time. So next time you have a major change, you can look at the data from, here's what we implemented last time, here's what worked, here's what didn't, and you continue to become more effective over time, which is every company's goal. You want to streamline your processes. You want to, you know, get people up to speed, and you want to be able to, you know, launch these things as quickly as possible so that your organization's effective. So I love it. I love the three easy things to remember. Absolutely. You know, everybody can remember process, self-service, and tracking, and reach out to Jessica if you want more information. So
absolutely. Jessica, is there a place anyone can reach you, any good way to get in touch with you to talk about this more?
Yeah, sure. Certainly welcome any LinkedIn invites, Jessica C. as in Cat Williams. And I also have my own website, jessicacwilliams.com. And I'm sure most of our listeners have already seen examples of both the accidental and the intentional approaches. So I hope that this gave some insights into, you know, how process, self-service, and tracking and it can really help maximize investments. And I do welcome any, you know, further follow-up questions.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for meeting with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks again. It's just been a pleasure being in conversation with you.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed our discussion with Jessica Williams. Here are three takeaways from this week's interview. First, remember this acronym POST, meaning process, self-service, and tracking. Second, an organization can be intentional or they can be accidental. And third, adjust your processes in real time using the numbers you get from your tracking phase. This podcast is brought to you by Biz Library, your online learning partner. For more information, visit us online at www.bizlibrary.com/resources. Every week, we like to spotlight one of the free resources Biz Library offers to help our listeners master the concepts and our key takeaways. This week, download our free infographic called What Does an Employee Training Partnership Look Like? You can find the link to this infographic in the show notes or on the Biz Library website on the resources page.
If you'd like to appear on the Biz Library podcast or suggest a topic for discussion, visit us on Twitter at Biz Library or email us at hannah@bizlibrary.com. And don't forget to click subscribe, leave a rating on iTunes, and share this episode with friends through social media.
Thanks for listening. As always, I'm Derek Smith.
And I'm Hannah Brenner. See you next week.